This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where I give you access each week to the world's greatest athletes and executives about their personal and professional playbook and what has made them champions on and off the field.
Yankees win!
That contract extension was for $176 million.
Touchdown! And a title for the Patriots!
I can't believe it!
I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer. Dave Meltzer, CEO of Sports One Marketing, here on Entrepreneurs the Playbook. And I got the Deuce with me, Deuce McAllister. He's actually, I went to law school here, Deuce.
Really?
At Tulane.
Really?
So, yeah. So
how was your time there at law school?
I loved it. You know, Jim Mora was the coach when I was here. Okay. And he went, I played football in college at Occidental. Mm-hmm. That's where Jim went.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got special treatment and got to meet Peyton Manning. I think he was 17 years old. And he looked over at him. He said, "You see that kid there?" He goes, "I think he could start for us today." And Bobby Hebert turns around.
kind of checks you right there.
He goes, "I think you're right."
He turned out pretty good though, didn't he?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, he's one of New Orleans' greatest. Now, where'd you grow up?
Grew up in Mississippi, about 45 minutes east of Jackson. So been in the South, you know, my whole life as far as high school and college, and was privileged enough to play in New Orleans. So it turned out pretty good.
Yeah, you are the Southern Belle. And got the nickname Deuce because you wore the number 2 in high school?
That's correct. And at that time, David Palmer was at Alabama. And one of my middle school coaches was a big Alabama fan. And that's when they really started on one of their runs. And I was kind of like a slash player like he was. And my given name is Duwamas. But a lot of other coaches that called me Deuce as well. And he started it, and it kind of just took off from there.
Yeah, I had Akbar on my podcast, and I still can't pronounce his last name. Uh-huh. I try so far. Sorry about that, Akbar. But anyway, at the Playbook, we kind of look into, not necessarily on the field, you were a Pro Bowler, you know, on the Saints for all those years. I think you're the all-time rusher for, we'll stay off the field, actually. I'm really interested in what made you such a success off the field, right?
Well, you know, you look at having your success and then you have your failures as well. And, you know, you kind of have to attack it as not being afraid to fail. And so every day is going to be a little bit different. You know, you will have the good moments, you'll have the bad, but you just try to say, hey, look, I'm going to have more good moments and I'm going to enjoy it. The one thing about the NFL, you know, it stands for a lot of different acronyms as far as National Football League, but, you know, you really look at it, it's not for long. And so whether you're guaranteed 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, you know, the one thing that you can't control are injuries. And so once you come in, really from your rookie year, you've got to be thinking about the exit plan, you know, and as far as what do I do next? I mean, because there are very, very few guys that play the Jackie Slaters, the Tom Brady's, you know,
the Warren Moons,
into their 40s,
right?
You know, and so that just doesn't happen. You know, the normal ratio for a guy is about 3.5, 3.7 years, and that's if you're lucky. And so you're talking about you're 24, 25 years old, and you retire. You're fired, you know, and to say that you retired is kind of nice, but at 25, you're looking, okay, what do I do next? And so a lot of times it's just finding something that you're passionate about.
So you had this vision since you were a rookie. What did you do with your money while you were playing?
Well, for me personally, you know, just talking to a lot of different investment guys, whether it was some bank people, whether it was some business people, I've gotten involved in a lot of different projects from real estate all the way to car businesses, to restaurants, to trucking business. So I've kind of done a little bit of everything, you know, even pharmacy, even the garbage business. And those
that's
are some
a good
of the,
business.
Yeah, well, some that, you know, just finding a passion, you know. And one of the things that I learned, a bought lesson is sometimes the best lesson is, you know, making sure the guys that you're involved with have the same skin in the game as you. I mean, because a lot of times you hear the stories, you see the stories of the NFL athlete being the investor and the partner not necessarily putting anything in it. And
it's amazing, right? People don't realize, you know, I've got blessed to run Lee Steinberg and represent all these great athletes, Warren Moon. Like, I was amazed how many guys were the endorser, the funder, and then there was some business guy like I that had no skin in the game. I always thought it would have been the opposite. Yeah, you don't put in anything. And so we actually coached all of our guys and mentored them into never putting in a dime. Mm-hmm. If you want me involved, maybe a symbolic investment just so they could say you have something in the game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you should get equity as a talent.
Correct.
And you should be able to utilize that. Now, tell me, what was your best investment?
The garbage business.
You said garbage.
The garbage business, just because, you know, even when you look at it and you try to find something, okay, what can I find that lasts? You know, what can I find that everybody has? And then what can I find to invest that, you know, regardless of the economy, this is still going to be there, you know? And so I've had some real estate, was successful on a couple projects, but then, you know, just like everyone else,
2008,
you know, credit crunch and et cetera, you know, it suffered. Same thing with the car dealership. You know, you look at it as well, there's always going to be a need for cars, you know, but you start to learn that, well, you know, people started to take care of that car. They started to keep that car a little bit longer. And so, you know, that was not as successful as it should have been. But, you know, I've really enjoyed the garbage business and then the restaurant business. You know, it's just finding a niche, what fits as far as that business is concerned.
And you're still involved in the restaurant business, a very successful one here in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually have a couple of them. The biggest one is Old Saint. And so that's the one here in New Orleans. And
It's all Deuce. I've been in there. It's awesome. I love it.
have an investment in a coffee shop as well, PJ's Coffee.
Yeah.
Those guys are my partner in the restaurant as well. And so, you know, we've looked at expanding it, kind of changing or tweaking that concept. But it's something that works here for New Orleans. And then, you know, whatever area that you look at, it's something, you know, maybe a college town or a resort area, it may fit.
Nice. What advice would you give to a rookie coming in as far as business goes? What advice would you give him?
Well, find something that he's comfortable with. I mean, some guys like to wait until they're done playing. You know, some guys like to get right into it, you know, but I would say get with someone that you trust, you know, and obviously don't just be a passive investor. If you've got your money and your name tied up into it, make sure that it's something that you're really passionate about, or at least you're involved in. I mean, because like we said earlier, it's their name, it's their image, it's just their face that most people are going to attach to a brand that they go with. And so, you know, you see a lot of guys that want to go with the clothing. That's a tough business.
Yeah.
You know, clothing is
Sean Merriman, ask him, lights out.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough business. And then the question is, you know, particularly for football players, the disadvantage that you have that maybe a basketball guy has, they can see his face.
Right. It's the helmet.
Yeah.
That's why we represented quarterbacks, right? Because everybody knows the quarterback.
And so sometimes whether the quarterback is having success, the team is having success, they know the quarterback. But, you know, maybe in its elite offensive lineman or running back, well, if he's not in the playoffs, only that area is going to know him. And so you've got to find something that, okay, this is something that we can take outside of this market, you know, regardless if you're here with this team long term or not. And then the other thing is just make sure that the people that you align with you, you know, that you partner with, make sure that they have the same morals, make sure that they're, you know, willing to lose as you may be. You know, unfortunately, there will be losses. No one is going to bat 1,000, but you know, the biggest thing is just make sure it's something that they're committed to.
Did you ever have anyone take advantage of you?
Yeah.
And what was the you don't use names, obviously, mm-hmm. but tell me the situation and what you learned from it.
Well, the biggest thing was, you know, I partnered with the guy, and I was really I was the money guy. You know, it was my name, it was my money, and my partner had some experience in the business, but he was really backed by a trust, and his family's trust is how he got his start and got his name. And, you know, it was a bath for me, you know, and I lost a tremendous amount of money, and, you know, it was something that I had worked for.
Did he straight out lie to you? Would that be fair to say?
Well, he lied to me, but, you know, I think it was ongoing lies. And I think he had other individuals that saw, hey, look, you know, this is something that we could kind of take advantage of as well. It wasn't until I had an outside audit come in and just like, hey, look, we're here to do, you know,
You're losing money and figure this out, right?
We're here to do a forensic and see what's really going on. You know, we had really a audit team already, but that was a monthly deal. And this was just like, in the middle of the day, you know, middle of the month, surprise, and, you know, that's really how I found
it. And they have, you know, these types of people that take advantage and manipulate us, and that's happened to me. People mm-hmm. have committed fraud on me, and, you know, I took accountability for it. But it's amazing they have no fear, you know, and it's, to me, it's unbelievable when you look at that and you're like, how could he just look me in the eyes and do that when I have a family? I worked really hard. You know, you even got hit in the head a few times. Yeah. That's even worse than studying real hard.
It was the befriending part, you mm-hmm. know, and then you build up a trust and, you know, they just feel like, hey, look, well, he's got football. You know, he's not going to miss this. He's got other assets. He's not going to miss this. Correct. And so that's kind of how it happened.
And what lesson would you say you learned as far as from that on, you know, after that happened, you probably said to yourself, from now on, I'm not going to do this or I won't or will do this. What lesson did you
have? I was 25 years old and probably knew more about from the court side of just business bankruptcy and, you know, having meetings with the attorneys. I think at one point I probably had 8 or 9 different attorneys, you know, just trying to protect my long-term future. I mean, because at 25, I felt like that, hey, look, not only football-wise, but just living, you know. Yeah. And so I had other investments that I wanted to protect outside of this one. You know, the one thing is you can't be an absentee owner, particularly when it's a cash heavy business, and you are the individual that, whether you're the guarantor or whether you're just the face of that company or, you know, whatever it may be, you can't be in just an absentee owner in that situation. I mean, there's other businesses that if you don't have any capital involved in it, then it's a different story.
Right, you're an endorser.
But when you have capital involved with it, you've got to be involved in it.
You know what I found? Because people do, they befriend you, they align with you. And one of the lessons that I learned was to blame my own memory on things. So mm-hmm. what I always like to do is say, you know, I don't have that good of memory, so can we write this down? Or, you know, I really don't have the time or memory. Would you mind if I had someone in there once a week, mm-hmm. you know, or just spot checking? Because, you know, unfortunately, I believe good people do desperate things.
Correct.
Right? And desperate people do bad things. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate that they get these pressures. Now, did you have mentors? Because you're, you know, wise beyond your years. You really experienced a lot at a young age. Did you have any mentors through your process in life now? And give me one mentor and kind of what you learned from that mentor.
Well, probably the guys that I've gotten involved with just business-wise from some of the garbage guys, you know, and calling them
I love that, garbage guys.
Garbage guys.
Are they named Tony by chance? I don't know how you got lucky enough to get in that business, but that is a great business.
It was really by chance. I just retired, and one of my best friends that I grew up with, he had gotten a contract.
They didn't do a drop the deuce campaign?
Didn't drop the deuce.
For garbage? I had to say it. Sorry.
they had just got a contract here, and I just retired in New Orleans. And so to help them be able to get into the city, break in, you know, and just some opportunities there. Just for him, he didn't really have to bring me on, you know, as far as on his company and allow me to invest in it and just to grow. And you know, he ended up selling his company to a bigger company. And when we got with those guys, you're talking about you're one of the top 10 largest privately owned, wow. you know, company. And so, you know, I've had opportunity to sit down with T Boone Pickens and just, you know, this guy's multi,
yeah,
you know,
he's
and,
brilliant.
Yeah. And so just to hear some of him tell the stories and, you know, you Wayne Huizenga would never remember me because I was one of 32 garbage men that sat at a conference with him. I mean, but this is a guy that, you know, not only the Marlins, but the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, when you start to see that portfolio of some of the individuals, then at least it tells you, hey, look, you're doing the right thing.
Right.
You know, you're doing some of the right things and you are on the right track, you know, and it takes a little luck. It takes a little luck and, you know, and just learning from those guys. And, you know, I'm really, really fortunate. Wally Carter, John Jennings, those are some of the guys that, hey, look, Deuce, we want to take you under our arm. We feel like that you've got a lot of potential. You just keep working.
What's the common characteristic of, you talk about T Boone or, you know, Huizenga or some of, probably even Tom Benson, mm-hmm. you know, some of these ultra successful people that are billionaires. What did you see as a common characteristic? You know, I can pick them for quarterbacks. As we were mm-hmm. talking about Lee, we focus on quarterbacks. I can tell you what makes a quarterback. He has a characteristic of being presidential, right? He's inherently a mm-hmm. leader. Give me a characteristic that you saw through all these really successful people you were blessed to be around.
Well, even like with Mr. Benson, when I was going through my struggles with my car dealership, you know, he stepped in and tried to help me as much as possible. And, you know, for me, I really, not to say I turned it down, but in a way I did, because I wanted to show him, hey, look, I can do this. And I didn't want to say he saved me, because he could have. And he gave me numerous opportunities outside of just that one business to help me along the way. But, you know, the one thing is just how they work and how they learn and how they're able to say, I can walk away from something bad as well.
Right. That, made by the people you say no to. I teach people that all the time.
That's exactly why. Right. And so, you know, you look at some opportunities and sometimes your heart is telling you, hey, look, this is the home run. This is the home run. But at the end of the day, everybody else that you've entrusted to say, help me make the right decisions, I said, walk away. Walk away. Sell. And sometimes you have to listen to those other people and not just be hard-headed sometimes from what you think as the individual instead of what the team thinks.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, people actually get in love with their company or in love with their product.
Yeah.
And or even ego-wise, they can't walk away because it's a failure, right? Yeah. It's like, and I think athletes have a tougher time.
Because you always think you can make the next play.
Right,
you always,
exactly. We're taught not to quit. Correct. If it's fourth down, I mean, and you watched the Super Bowl last year, it's just reinforcing, okay, I can still come back, right? Tom Brady would have that problem if he was in business.
Correct.
Because he would not quit on a deal.
Correct.
Right, because you could figure
I've had that problem as well.
Me too.
Yeah.
And you know, I didn't play professionally, but I have that in my heart. And Warren has that on our business deals. He is just, come on, man, we could do this. And I'm like, no, we're going to cut our losses.
You got to cut your losses and move forward, because the next opportunity, if it fits, will come.
Right. And you do, like me, big enough opportunities. I tell people all the time, if I had $20 million to invest, you know, which we have funds and stuff, but my strategy is, do pick out 20 different deals and give $1 million each, or 10 Correct. Deals and give two each. The funny thing is, if those deals, only one of them hits, I'm a genius.
Correct.
Nobody even knows that I lost $19 million Correct. On the other 19 deals.
Correct.
Because this one's worth $100 million and I netted $80 million.
Well, we all think the next deal is the internet. You know, you always think right. that, hey, look, I'm the next Mark Cuban, you know, or Sokka, or, you know, some of the guys that, you know, the Shark Tank guys. We always think that, hey, look, right. this is the next
Mr.
big
Wonderful.
Deal. Correct. And so,
well, I got to get you on my TV show. We have the elevator pitch with Entrepreneur.
Okay.
And so we get all the guest judges, and we get to invest into companies. We had 12 episodes, 90 different companies come in. We invested in 30, but we all have to agree. It's a little different than Shark Tank. It's like Shark Tank was soul. We all have to agree. We're there to mentor those guys. One last question. You're a huge philanthropic influence in New Orleans and around the country. I know, give me a little bit about that idea of giving back, because you have done it since you started playing. You've given back to so many different things. I think it's either Big Brothers, Big Sisters. You're on the board of here, and you donate $1 million to Ole Miss, I think, for their practice facility. Tell me, I don't need to list out all the great things you do, but tell me why that giving back was so important to you.
Well, and for me, you know, unless that organization wants it public, I don't even, you know, like to talk about it, whether it's Boys Town, Boys and Girls, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, you know. I look at some of those as core. And when you talk about core, it's just kids that need opportunity. And that's really what it's about. You know, when you talk about me personally, I'm from small town Mississippi, you know, grew up on a dirt road. And if someone from Ludlow, Mississippi can make it to the NFL, then you can't tell me that the road is not clear or there's not a path for any other kid. And so for me to really be thankful enough for the high school coaches, the teachers, the counselors, just so many people that gave me the opportunity way before it was the athlete, Deuce McAllister. You know, the least I could do is give another kid that same opportunity. I mean, because a lot of times, you know, what kids are dealing with, even though it's changing from what we came up with, you know, just because of the electronic world that they live in, a lot of them just need, and I love you, or, hey, look, you know, you can do it. You know, some type of confidence builder or booster, and that may be the spark that they need. But, you know, others, they may need a little bit more, you know. And so whether it's giving actual funds, whether it's exposing them to operations, to businesses, you know, just giving them that, hey, look, this is what you can become. This is what you can do. You've just got to focus and find your niche.
Be that mentor. A lot of the organizations you give to are mentoring organizations besides the scholarship money and all the other boosts that you need. When you were talking about that encouragement, mm-hmm. who gave you that encouragement most in your life? You know, because I had a mom, single mom, six mm-hmm. kids. I didn't grow up on a dirt path, but pretty close, right? Food stamps at times, things like that. But my mom was just this person that made me feel like I could do anything. Unfortunately, she actually believed I could be a professional football player, even just because I could run scared really fast, but not as fast as you. Mm-hmm. But who was that person for you that just gave you the almighty strength? Because you know it was right there. And everyone else, when they didn't believe in you, you had that one person telling you how great you were.
Yeah, I think it starts with my, you know, your parents, my mother, my yep. father. My father drove 18-wheelers. I mean, so he was on the road a lot. My mom, she worked two jobs. She went to school. So, you know, whether it was the grandparents that you went with or, you know, my aunt that would pick us up, you know, and just finding a way. Hey, look, I knew for me to play sports, I had to have good grades. And so I treated the classroom just like the football field or the basketball court. You know, I wanted students in there that I was with to know, hey, look, I'm a pretty good student, too. I just don't want you to think that I'm just an athlete. You know, you get a lot of bad names called because necessarily we don't apply ourselves at times in that classroom. And so I challenge all of the athletes, hey, look, you know, be a smart person, be a smart individual, assert yourself in that classroom. And we always pick at them. I tell them, hey, look, you know, there's a young lady that you know that's smart. She's going to be at the very front in that first four rows. You go sit right beside her, right behind her. Because you challenge yourself to be just as smart. If she's getting A+, you go get A+ as well. And so we know what you can do on the basketball court. We know what you can do on the diamond and the football field. But assert yourself in the classroom.
That's awesome. And so leaving the last, as always, what legacy does Deuce McAllister want to leave when it's all said and done?
You know, it'll never be about the money. You know, it's about how many generations did I change?
Wow.
Not only for my family, but outside of my family. You know, whether it's helping a cousin or someone that wants to go to college, adopting a classroom and helping those kids be able to get the tools, the necessities that they need. And, you know, one of them, I know probably seven kids from a school that we adopted that we've helped through college. Wow. And so you're talking about
changing generations.
How can we change this generation? You know, how can we help this family that I'm the first one to ever go to college? You know, I'm the first one to ever to be able to say I graduated from high school, you know, and that's life changing. And so, okay, you may have kids that may not go to a 4-year college, but we have junior colleges. We have Votex. Now they can learn a trade. Now they're going to be a productive citizen to our society. And I think that's just giving an individual a chance.
I think you have it there, empowering others to empower others to be purposeful, successful, and happy. And I'll tell you, the reason, you know, we reached out to you is because that legacy already exists. When we look for those people that not only are financially entrepreneurs, but give back to the community and have a significant impact on the community. As we talked to the Saints, your name came up. And so, you know, you're doing what it takes, and we're really grateful for it. And your playbook is one that I think a lot of other athletes and businessmen should take and understand that, look, you're going to have your highs and your lows. Mm-hmm. You're going to trust the wrong people at times, but you got to know what to do with your money, know when to invest, know what you're investing in. But more importantly, if you're successful and you keep working hard, you're going to have that money and do the right things with it, which is giving back to change generations. And, you know, I'm just super glad that I got to meet you when you were a teenager. You didn't remember because I look completely different. But, you know, you have turned out to be just an incredible person. And we're just grateful to have you on the playbook.
Well, I surely appreciate it. And, you know, it's always about what impact can you make on the next individual. You know, what impact can you make on them, whether it's positive or negative? You know, sometimes it will be negative, but, you know, hopefully you get an opportunity where it changes. And, you know, it's just helping to change that trajectory a little bit.
Well, this is Dave Meltzer, CEO of Sports One Marketing, and I actually have been impacted by you, and I appreciate the advice that you've given me and all the help that you've given others. We look forward to the next playbook for Entrepreneur. Be sure to tune in next Monday, where we feature another story on how a sports icon went from the playing field to the boardroom.